Does the Prime Minister agree with me that given the crisis ordinary families are facing in their living standards, MPs should not be awarded a pay rise many times above inflation in 2015?
Prime Minister.
No, I do agree with him about that issue. I think it would be wrong for MPs to get a big pay rise at a time of public sector pay restraint. All three party leaders agree on that. We've all made this point to IPSA, and I think we should be clear that what they've said is not a final recommendation. Let me briefly make three points. First, the idea of an 11% pay rise in 1 year at a time of pay restraint I think is simply unacceptable. Secondly, IPSA do need to think again, and unless they do so, I don't think anyone will want to rule anything out. No one wants to go back to MPs voting on their own pay, but we've got to have a process and an outcome that can build public confidence. Third, in my view, I think this should all be accompanied with a cut in the cost of politics.
Mr. Ed Miliband.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm glad he agrees. I'm glad he agrees on this issue. Does he also agree with me that we should not let this hang around as an issue until after the general election, hanging over trust in politics? Yeah. And can I urge him to work with me to find a way, on a cross-party basis, of making IPSA think again and to stop this package happening?
My door is always open to the right honourable gentleman, and I'm always happy to discuss this or indeed any other issue. I would just stress the point that this is not a final recommendation, and I think if the three party leaders and others in this House can unite behind a position of saying it wouldn't be right to make this pay rise, then I think actually that's the strongest message we can give.
Mr. Ed Miliband.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with the Prime Minister, but I hope he agrees with me that waiting and seeing won't work, and we do have to get together to deal with this. Now, the reason why this is not the right time for this pay rise is because most people are going through the biggest cost of living crisis in a generation, and I want to turn to that cost of living crisis. Last Thursday, the Chancellor claimed living standards were rising. That's just not the case, is it?
Let me just add one point on the issue of MPs' pay. This government has shown respect for the fact of difficulties people face by the fact that when we came in, we cut ministers' pay by 5% and froze it for the whole of the Parliament. That is not something that the party opposite did. Now, of course, he wants to get on. He wants to get on to the economy. And frankly, after last week's exchange, I can't wait to get on to the exchange on the economy, where we discovered a new duo, Red Ed and Redder Ed. I'm looking forward to discussing these things. Look, of course, I thought the Institute of Fiscal Studies, I thought, put this very clearly. They said this: we've had a great big recession. We've had the biggest recession we've had in 100 years. It would be astonishing if household incomes hadn't fallen and earnings hadn't fallen. But the fact is, that is the legacy of what they left us. His entire approach seems to be this: we made the most almighty mess. Why are you taking so long to clear it up? Well, we are clearing it up.
Mr. Speaker, in case he's forgotten, he's been the Prime Minister for 3.5 years. I think we are making progress, because last Thursday, the Chancellor said that living standards were rising. Now, his own Office of Budget Responsibility says this: almost whichever way you look at it, average earnings, wages, salaries, the levels have been falling. And it...
Order. Mr. Blenkinsop, you're yelling across the chamber. Be quiet. Quiet. Calm yourself. Take up yoga. Mr. Ed Miliband.
And they went on: it is inconceivable to suggest otherwise. But that is exactly what the Chancellor did last Thursday. Why won't he just come out and admit it? There is a cost of living crisis in this country.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to something, when you're being heckled from your own side, Mr. Speaker, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to keep us all in order. He says about three. I'll tell him what's been happening over these 3 years. We got the deficit down by a third. We got a million more people in work. We got 400,000 more businesses operating in Britain. And we've got one of the fastest rates of growth now of any major Western economy. But the truth about living standards and the cost of living is this. If you don't have a long-term economic plan to get our economy moving, you don't have a plan to deal with living standards. Now, we have a plan. Our plan is to keep interest rates low, to get the country back to work, to cut people's taxes, to boost business. It's working, our plan. He doesn't have a plan, as we discovered last week, apart from more borrowing, more spending, more taxes, all the things that got us into the mess in the first place.
Utterly complacent and out of touch with the country. That is this Prime Minister all over. Absolutely all over. Now, let's be fair to him. He does understand that some people are really struggling. Because today we learn of his plan to cut the top rate of tax further from 45 pence to 40 pence. Can he just explain why is he even contemplating a further tax cut for millionaires who've received hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of tax cuts when ordinary families are so squeezed?
The top rate of tax under this government is higher than any of the times he was in the cabinet, he was in the government, or he was working in the Treasury trying to wreck the economy in the first place. Now, if he wants to talk cost of living, let us compare our records. Yes. They doubled council tax, we've frozen it. Yes. They put up petrol tax 12 times, we've frozen it. Yes. They put up the basic rate of pension by a measly 75p, we've increased it by £15 a week. Yes. I'm happy to compare our records any time of day. But the British public know this. If you want to sort out the cost of living, if you want to help families, you need more jobs, you need more growth, you need a long-term economic plan. We've got one, he hasn't.
I'll tell him what happened.
Order, members can calm down. I've said it before, some people are slow learners. As long as it takes, we'll go on so they can shout and scream and bawl in the most juvenile manner, but we'll just keep going. Ed Miliband.
I'll tell him what happened. Under the last Labour government, real earnings went up £3,600. Living standards up. Under him, they're down £1,600. Living standards down under this government. We've always known how out of touch he is, but he has taken it to a whole new level. They're in denial about the cost of living crisis. And they're not satisfied with one millionaire's tax cut. They think it's time for another. Once again, he proves he stands up for the wrong people.
So at the end of six questions, we're back to denial and the record of the last Labour government. I know I've had a long flight, Mr. Speaker, but I couldn't have written the script better if I'd done it myself. The last Labour government gave us the biggest budget deficit virtually anywhere in the world. The last Labour government gave us the biggest banking bust anywhere in the world. The last Labour government created a giant mess that this government is clearing up. That is the truth. And even since the autumn statement, why can't he mention the fact that business optimism is up. Manufacturing is up. The number of job vacancies is up. And pretty soon we can add two to that list.